The story of the light of God dawning on the world is the story of Epiphany. As little by little, more and more people come to know the light and love of God in Jesus Christ. What begins with just Mary and Joseph is extended to the shepherds who tell the story in their country, and continues even farther with the arrival of the wise men from the east who return to their country, telling the story of the birth of a Savior, the Savior, who is the light of the world. The story eventually came to us, and we heard it and received it with joy, but we know that there is still work before us. For we can see a world that is still sitting in darkness, waiting to hear the news of a Savior who has come and of the salvation he brings, promising that all who receive him, who believe on his name, he gives the power to become children of God. In Matthew's gospel, the Magi symbolize the non-Jewish world and all who search for ultimate truth, the truth incarnate in the one whom the Magi found in Bethlehem at the end of their journey. By including the story, Matthew shows that God's salvation is intended both for Jews and Gentiles and has been from all eternity. By recording their pilgrimage to see Jesus, Matthew shows that people of all nations acknowledged him as King of the Jews and came to worship him as Lord. The Magi brought gifts to the gift of gifts, God's gift to us and all mankind. If it weren't for that gift, we'd have no reason to seek him out, for there would be no king to find, no Savior to serve, no Lord to worship. There'd be no redeemer of our sins, no hope of forgiveness, no promise of eternal life for those who believe in God through Christ. Well, unlike the Gospel of Luke, which was written with a Gentile audience in mind, the Gospel of Matthew was written by a Jew for the Jews. This doesn't mean, however, that Matthew restricts his Gospel to the Jews. Otherwise, he would have avoided recording the coming of the pagan Gentile Magi to worship Jesus, the King of the Jews. Finally, Matthew closes his Gospel with the Great Commission, where Jesus told his followers to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. With these words, Jesus commands his followers of every generation to reach out to people of every tribe, nation, language, and people, to be conduits, if you will, of his light and love. Our job as conduits is to make known to others the one who has made himself known to us, whose birth we recently celebrated and whose epiphany we celebrate today. We are illumined people because we've seen the light and have believed. We've seen the light of God's love for us manifested in the Savior who has come into the world. And we believe and trust that God has a good plan for our life, both for our everyday life and for the life to come, which is everlasting and perfect through faith in God's only begotten Son, through whom we have redemption by his blood, the forgiveness of sins. In Jesus Christ, we see the fullness of the hope of what it really is to become children of God, to belong to his family, children who are individually and collectively commissioned by God to be conduits of his gospel truth and love and light to others. We're now his voice and witness in the world, to share the good news of Jesus with those who are still in the dark. If we fail in our mission, if we try to keep the light to ourselves, then who will bring the light of God's love, the light of the Savior of the world, to those walking in darkness? Who will share with them the word of God and make it known to them? No one will. For there is no one else but the Christian who knows and testifies that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, who brings the forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with God, and gives the gift of eternal life to all those who believe on his name. The name you and I now bear, and the light you and I are called to share with all those walking in the darkness of sin, death, and the devil. The following story is found in the book by Carol Engel Everett entitled Under the Cover of Light, The Extraordinary Story of U.S. Air Force Colonel Thomas Jerry Curtis's 7.5-year captivity in North Vietnam. She writes, "Fall eroded into winter at Dog Patch. It was cold and depressing, and Christmas was fast approaching. Colonel Jerry Curtis's 8th in captivity. In this remote facility, POWs lived together basically in the same groups they had been with for the past 2 years. Once again, Colonel Curtis was in charge of planning Sunday services for everyone who wanted to attend, and usually most men did. One Monday morning, during planning for the upcoming Sunday, Jerry approached a younger POW and asked him if he would give the devotional during their worship time. The airman declined, saying so many others were more qualified than he was. Jerry didn't pressure. "Okay, maybe just think about it," he said, "and let me know." A couple of days later, the young officer approached Jerry and said he would do it. Jerry had no idea what a powerful message they would hear. When Sunday arrived, the other POWs began sitting down on their wooden bunks. In the informal setting, the young pilot stood up. "Well, here goes." He fidgeted with his hands, obviously uncomfortable. "When Jerry came to me and asked if I would speak to you guys today at our Sunday service, I told him, 'Hey, I'm not a church person. There are so many of you who could be doing such a better job of this than I can.'" He spoke softly, hesitantly. "But after I thought about it, I went back to him and said, 'Okay, I'd do it.' The other men were listening now, intently. 'I don't know much about the Bible. However, what I do know is what we've been through here in prison. We've been hungry. We've been beaten. We've been abused.'" None of the men who sat before him needed to be reminded of their plight, but there was something profound about the retelling. The sound of the speaker's quiet voice going over the litany of abuses and hardships they had endured brought the brutal reality of their situation to the forefront of their minds. They were prisoners of war in a hostile environment. They had endured everything the North Vietnamese had dished out. And here, so far away from our country, our families, our homes, we have nothing. Everything has been taken away from us. It was absolute fact. The men sitting before him had been stripped of all external possessions, of material things. They had nothing to their names, nothing. "But in reality," he continued, "we each have many gifts, call them talents if you want to. But we each have something that God has given us." He stopped speaking for a moment and picked up one of the tin plates stacked on a nearby bunk. And now he came to the heart of his message, holding the empty container in his hands. "Though we have nothing materially, we each possess something, some talent or gift within us, something we can give to God for him to use. As I pass this empty dish around, I want each of you to hold it for a moment. Whatever you have that you are willing for God to use, place it in the plate. Whatever you are willing to give to God." He handed the plate to the first man sitting closest to him. There was complete silence. Just the subdued sounds of an empty plate being passed from one man to the next. Each man held the plate for several seconds. Many could be heard stifling their emotions. Others wept openly. As Jerry watched the powerful yet simple message being delivered by this inexperienced teacher, he thought about how he had asked God during that first year in prison to use him in these dark dungeons wherever possible. While God had done that many times over, Colonel Curtis recognized that God had used him once again. God was answering his prayer of 7 years before. One more time, he had become a conduit of God's light. This time it was through him to another POW and out again to the others. And now it has been once again redirected to you and me of Oasis Church. It was a moment full of unspeakable purpose during his imprisonment. Jerry was the last to touch the plate with its invisible contents. Only God knew the weight. Today, in the words of the young POW airman who filled the pulpit on that particular Sunday, each of us has many gifts. Call them talents if you want. But we each have something that God has given us. A gift or talent within us. Something we can give to God for him to use. To use as a conduit for God's light. All that we have and are. All of our gifts and talents are but humble ways of reflecting the glorious light of Christ who dwells within us and in whom we live and move and have our being. Colonel Curtis's years in captivity empowered him to see this truth in a powerful way. He learned firsthand that the best gift we can offer to God is to be what he called a conduit for the light. For Jerry, it was God's answer to untold suffering, for in the unspeakable darkness of a POW camp, God had enabled him to be just that, a conduit for his miraculous light. That light which entered into the world at Christmas and was manifested at Epiphany. Emmanuel, God with us. At Christmas, Jesus Christ was manifested as God incarnate before Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, and the heavenly host. On Epiphany, he was manifest as God incarnate to the Magi. Generations later, Jesus Christ was manifested as God incarnate to us by the power of the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. Having seen the light and received Jesus Christ as our only Lord and Savior, we are now to be like Colonel Curtis and the young airmen, conduits who can do it in bringing the light of the world to the people and nations of the world. This happens when we gladly make available for his use what we have freely received from him for our use. Our gifts and talents, our time and treasure, possessions, all so that we might become conduits of his gospel light, truth, grace, and love in the lives of those who need the light of Christ more than they need anything else in the world. In this way, we too, like Colonel Curtis and the airman preacher of the day, shall be little lights of Christ, illuminating a sin-darkened world with the gospel of Christmas and the light of Epiphany. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.